One of the criticisms of the substation at 828 West Jefferson by BLM and other groups is that they weren't consulted on putting that or using that house as a substation. But to be fair, as we said, BLM in Bloomington Normal is relatively young. Mid-Central Community Action has been canvassing the neighborhood for a good maybe a couple of years even. Is it even fair to say, hey, we weren't consulted?
When we say we, we're not talking about Black Lives Matter. We're talking about the community.
Okay.
It's fascinating that on the Friday before the Monday vote at the city council on the substation and the lease to the police department, some aldermen were hearing about it for the first time, the Friday before the vote. We have BLM members who live in that neighborhood on the 800 block of Washington, on the 900 block of Monroe, on Howard Street, who were hearing about this for the first time. So kudos to MCCA. 3 or 4 years they've been canvassing the neighborhood. Well, it's quite a leap from hearing someone say my concern is safety to then jumping to the conclusion we'll put in a substation. Did they ask residents, how would you like to see this safety addressed? When you tell the layperson that there's going to be a substation, the layperson has an idea of what a substation is, and they look at it as a police station that will be staffed by police on a regular or semi-regular basis. We've asked the chief on multiple occasions, what does this substation look like? And his words are, it's a place where police officers can voluntarily take breaks, eat lunch, and write reports. To his credit, he said from the get-go, it's not going to be staffed 24/7. But we don't know how it's going to be staffed at all. At his last focus group meeting, I asked him if he could ballpark for me. How many hours a week do you think the substation might be manned? He said he had no idea. Now, that's very strange to me, because as the chief of police, I would assume that he knows how many hours a day, a week, police officers take breaks, eat lunch, and write reports. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, that's 3 hours a day. And he knows how many officers are assigned to that region that the substation will be located in. Let's just say five. So it would have been very simple to me for him to say, and he has said this, I hope that officers will avail themselves of the opportunity to use this substation. So whatever the numbers work out to be, let's just, for the easy math, let's say it's 8 hours a day for all of the officers in this location, 5 days a week. That's 40 hours. So he could quite easily have said, it could be as high as 40 hours a week, but we really don't know until we implement it and we see how many officers are going to go and take advantage of it, et cetera, et cetera. So it seems a bit disingenuous to me that you tell folks, we're going to put in a substation, but you don't tell them, we have no idea how often we're going to be there.
The term substation, is that an issue? The name itself?
Well, it's an issue only in so much as we don't know what this thing is.
Okay.
MCCA is calling it now the Jefferson Street Community House. Right? It started out as substation. Now it's a community house. Now the Crime and Intelligence Analysis Unit Supervisor, Jack McQueen, is suggesting that it be called the BPD Community Policing Office. What is this thing? Is it a substation? Well, no, it's not, because when you say substation, that means a particular thing. But they've run with that up until this point. It's only since the community has kicked back that we're now trying to dance around the name. So MCCA is calling it a community house. Okay, why are you handing the keys over to the police? There are many community organizations that would love an opportunity to be in the heart of the West Side and reach out to residents there.
For example?
Boys and Girls Club. YWCA. There are church organizations. My church, Wayman. There was a gentleman at the MCCA meeting yesterday whose name escapes me right now, but who said he would love to be there once a week. Right now, they've been at Friendship Park, which is right down the street on Jefferson, for the last 7 years, every Friday, meeting with youth and trying to, you know, get them on the right path. They would love to use this space. Folks could host video game tournaments there. I mean, we could have real community engagement. So why isn't a community organization running the thing and allowing the police to come and go while the community and community organizations get to interact with the community?
What's the trepidation of having the police run that house or run a, quote, substation or whatever it's called out of that house? What's the trepidation?
I think the question is framed a little bit incorrectly. So the philosophical piece, how are we being policed,
okay,
Mr. Chief? We had that meeting on the 15th. We put a number of questions to the chief, including
We're talking about the accountability.
Accountability meeting at Mount Pisgah. Will you share data with us on a quarterly basis? He said, no, we do it annually, and that's all we're going to do. He was okay on recording the police and so on. Will you allow us to work with you? Here's the exact question. Will you work with your community to develop and or refine body camera policies? No. Will you work with us to build a training? Well, will you work with the community, when I say us, to build a training regimen that will create a more positive community and policing environment? No. In the media afterwards, Chief Hefner has indicated that the police know how to police. Leave us alone. Let us do our job. We don't need to hear from you. So this is the objection we have. How are you policing us? Let us have some input and tell you what's working for us, what's not working, what we would like to see. And we've been pushed to the side and said, yeah, there are things that the community doesn't understand about policing, and they have no input in this thing.
Knowing that the Bloomington Police Department already has a relationship with other groups, including MAP, which is a broader, you know, organization for the NAACP and other minority groups, that they already have a relationship, why do they need to solicit input from you?
First of all, you is Black Lives Matter, but no, Black Lives Matter is the community. So we are saying, speak to the community about these issues. You mentioned MAP and the NAACP. I would ask you to ask them how much they knew about this substation before it was proposed. Were they consulted about whether it's a good idea or not? As far as we know, MCAA did a survey of the residents, and we heard about a safety concern. And then somebody jumped from a safety concern to a substation, which is still being defined. I want to be clear that Black Lives Matter, we're not, oh, put us at the table because we want the limelight, we want to talk. It's when we say we're talking about the community, specifically the Black and Brown community. Where is the community input into community policing? It seems as though there's policing, and it's being called community policing, but there's no community input into how they're policed. So that's what we say. Listen to us, because we're saying there is a missing component here. At the meeting, at the city council meeting to vote on the lease, aldermen at that table had not heard about this thing until the Friday before. If the aldermen are not being contacted and informed, and they're leaders of the community, we've got a big communication problem here.
You mentioned community policing, and if you talk to Bloomington Police, they would probably tell you for a couple of decades they have been pretty invested in community policing, whether it's cookie with a cop, coffee with a cop, you know, what is it, Boys and Girls Club, basketball with the kids on the street, and a host of other different things. Is that not community policing?
Community policing is more than an agenda item. It's a systemic approach to how you deal with your community. So community policing is a cop walking a beat, a cop knowing his neighbors or the people that he patrols. It's an engagement with the community on a long and consistent basis. It doesn't happen with the stroke of a pen. You don't open a storefront police station or a substation and say, yep, like magic, we have community policing. We need specific long-term approaches to engaging with the community, not just enforcing, right? What is the slogan? To serve and protect.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of attempts at protection. There's not a lot of service going on. Without that service component, you don't have community policing.
Dealing with Boys and Girls Club when they drop in, playing basketball with the kids, and it's broader than that? Is that what you're getting at?
Those are very laudable approaches, uh-huh. Absolutely. But dropping in, cookie with a cop, and you leave, that's not community policing. How many of our police officers know the names of more than 10 or 15 of the folks that they police? And I don't mean know their names because they arrest them all the time, but know their names because they walk past their homes in the good weather and they know, hey, Mrs. Brown, how are you doing? Hey, Mr. Jones, what's going on with the kids? How many of them have that level of contact with the folks that they protect and serve? It's much broader, as you said, than simply individual programs. It's a mentality, it's an outlook, it's a philosophy, it's an approach to a community.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm John Norton. Our guest is Kai Ajayi, who's representing Black Lives Matter. He's in the leadership movement here in the Bloomington Normal chapter. So it's not a police presence that is really bothering you so much. It's the lack of definition of what that is.
That's part of the problem. Okay. And then you're going to put more police in our community, police that routinely disrespect Black and Brown, particularly youth. No. We need to talk about how you police us before you put more police in there.
So that's where we're going with this.
That's part of it. Okay. The other piece is deter crime. Okay, so you put, let's say you've got cops there 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Does the crime vanish or does it move? So that five blocks north, west, south, east of that location, folks say, oh, the cops are there, so let's go do whatever nefarious things we're going to do elsewhere. Folks are doing nefarious things not just based on whether police are there or not. There are social issues that impact what's going on the West Side. Social, environmental, financial. Where are all those pieces? This house has the opportunity to provide services to those residents that will be more holistic than simply more police. More police who disproportionately target people of color, who treat people of color with disrespect. We don't want more of those kind of folks.
Bloomington Normal seems to be better than most towns that you hear about in the news. You hear about, at the accountability meeting, there were a few people who spoke about people who get roughed up and whatever for minor things, maybe even shot for minor things across the country. That doesn't seem to be happening in Bloomington Normal. We don't hear about incidents of people getting shot for walking across the street. Is it better here in Bloomington Normal than it is in a good chunk of the country we're hearing about, or are we just not hearing about things?
The environment that has led to these tragic occurrences around the country is an environment we are working very hard to ensure does not develop here. The roots of these types of incidents are disrespect for communities of color. We see that here. Broken windows policing policies, we see that here. The policing of minor infractions, we see that here. We see that in our community. We are working to create a community environment where things do not escalate to the levels that they have elsewhere. So we are looking for transparency. We're looking for accountability so that we can build trust. We are not anti-police. We are anti-poor policing. And the way to combat poor policing is to have community involvement. We are being blocked by the chief pretty much at every turn. We're not saying, hey, we've got the solution. Here it is. Implement it. We're saying, can we sit down and figure out what community policing looks like for the residents of Bloomington Normal? And we're being turned away.
The accountability meeting itself, how much advance notice did Chief Hefner have of what, of how it would be laid out as far as he could only answer yes or no to those questions? How much notice did he actually have?
I can't speak to specific number of days or
weeks.
I mean,
it wasn't that night.
No. He was given advance notice of what the agenda would be and what the structure of the meeting would be. So it wasn't a surprise to him to show up on that day and find out he couldn't speak beyond his 5-minute introduction and the yes or no's during the meeting.
In retrospect, would you have done it differently?
Absolutely not. I think it perfectly captured what we intended to do, which was to give members of the community whose voices had not been heard an opportunity to speak without interruption, without being challenged, without being denigrated, without their stories being diminished. Here's my story. Just listen to it. We can talk later about whether the specifics of the incident were correct or not, or whether the understanding was right or wrong. Be that as it may, this is how people feel. And folks got to hear that. And they got to hear us present voluminous research on the topics that we brought up, hear us discuss potential solutions, and then ask the chief if he would work with us on solving these problems. So no, we wouldn't do a darn thing differently.
Kai Ajayi, thanks for your time. Nice to talk with you.
Thanks for having me, John.